Hello and welcome to another episode of Addiction Audio, the podcast from the journal Addiction. Today I am joined by Dr. Eleni Domzaridou, who is a research associate at the Division of Pharmacy and Optometry at the University of Manchester, UK. Dr. Domzaridou, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for the invitation. It's nice to meet you.
Likewise. And today, Eleni is here to talk to us about a recent article titled Non-Fatal Overdose Risk Associated with Prescribing Opioid Agonists Concurrently with Other Medications, a cohort study conducted using linked primary care, secondary care and mortality records. So before we get into the detail of what you've done, which looks amazing and detailed and important, what first interested you in the area of drug interaction and overdose?
Yeah, so it is known that patients with opioid use disorder have multiple physical diseases or mental illnesses, and some that may result in multi-prescribing. So therefore, they need to understand whether there is evidence of interactions between different medicines, and if these contribute to overdose was of particular interest in the study. So I've observed that medications such as benzodiazepines, Z-drugs, or gabapentinoids are frequently prescribed among patients with opioid use disorder. And in the UK, almost 80% of deaths that involve these drugs also involved opioids. So I was thinking that, what if opioid agonists also has the potential to interact with these drugs and cause, you know, increased overdose risk. In addition, the National Institute of Health and Care Excellence has an extensive list of medications that may potentially interact with methadone and buprenorphine. And this list is online. And most of these interactions have been tested in small trials, or the evidence comes from case reports. Evidence from real-world data was very limited internationally. So by conducting this study, we believe that we fill a significant knowledge gap in the current literature.
I was quite surprised reading your article, the background section, that there wasn't more evidence on kind of drug-drug interactions. Do you get a sense as to why there was that kind of gap?
There is some evidence from some studies in the US. They're not particularly focused on this population. To be honest, I suspect it's just a speculation that this potentially has to do with the data that we have. So to study drug-drug interactions and investigate causal effects, you probably need toxicology data, bioavailability results, I suspect. So it's a bit hard outcome to approach with using real-world data from prescriptions.
That makes sense. And also in your study, you specifically looked at non-fatal overdose rather than fatal overdose. You know, we've spoken on this podcast before to people who've analysed coroner's reports. Why did you specifically look at non-fatal overdoses as an outcome of interest?
It is important to study non-fatal overdoses because it has been associated with subsequent either non-fatal or fatal overdoses. By non-fatal overdoses, we mean that those overdoses that required hospital admission. There might be drug safety issues for patients with opioid use disorder and concurrent mental illness or pain that may prevent future overdoses if we identify the factors that affect this pathway.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And it kind of links into the data that you use, which we'll come on to in a moment. You already mentioned some of the drugs that you looked at, and specifically you looked at benzodiazepines, antipsychotics, antidepressants, gabapentinoids, Z drugs and opioids. How did you and the research team, how did you kind of whittle down to this particular collection of substances?
These drugs are commonly prescribed because they treat certain mental illnesses or pain. And these disorders are very prevalent in this population. For instance, in my cohort, there were approximately 20% of patients who received the medication at some point for these disorders. And it was interesting to see that following alcohol dependence, depression and anxiety were most common disorders at baseline for these patients. But apart from that list that we examined, there are also other drugs such as antiepileptics, antihypertensive drugs, drugs for arrhythmias, antibiotics, drugs for COPD and asthma, or other non-opioid analgesics that are in the NICE list of potential drug interactions.
It's one of those common challenges with addiction research is that, for research to be really focused, we need people who just use one medication at a time. But it's so rare that anyone in that situation has just one issue that requires medication. So you looked at real life medical data. Now the database or the data source that you used was electronic health records from general practice. Can you explain a bit about where the data comes from and like was that a challenge kind of accessing and analyzing such a complex data set?
So the data come from the Clinical Practice Research Data Link, which is available in the UK and includes two big databases that collect data from general practices. So the databases are CPRD Gold and CPRD Aurum. They cover different areas in the country. Both of them covered approximately 20% of the UK population, and they're broadly representative of the national age, gender, and ethnicity distributions. They're massive. To work with these data sets, it might be complex, both for the analyst and computationally, because we need to store the data in a secure environment at the university. You cannot download the data, although it's anonymized patients' records, and analyze them using a central software system, let's say.
Okay.
So apart from that, what you get when you have access to the database, which is also a matter of a research application that has to be reviewed from an independent scientific committee. What you get is different massive tables that include demographic data, diagnosis, prescriptions, symptoms, referrals, lifestyle factors, results from tests, etc. And then the CPRD provides standard linkages for the hospital episode statistics that I've used in that study, that are data from hospitals in the country. And also there was linkage with the mortality registry from the Office for National Statistics and the prevention measures. So it was a bit of a challenge, especially the structure of the data in order to, make the data tell a specific story. Was really interesting and tricky to do.
I mean, it sounds like an enormous undertaking. One of the things that interested me in the methods was that you talked about. So obviously, you're interested in the points at which people are prescribed, say, for example, methadone and buprenorphine. You report on this. But you made a really interesting point that people actually often cycle in and out of methadone or buprenorphine. How were you able to represent that in the data and the analysis?
Yeah, so I looked at prescription dates and then I generated treatment episodes according to treatment duration. So treatment duration using CPRD, especially Aurum, for opioid agonists and particularly methadone was a bit tricky because 99% of the patients received prescribed, sorry, they were prescribed oral solution of methadone. For which I couldn't calculate the quantity of treatment. and consequently the duration of the exposure. So that was one of the challenges, and I selected a 14-day interval. And this decision was informed from the clinical practice, because in the UK, methadone and buprenorphine are prescribed with treatment duration that is not allowed to exceed 14 days. So to test the robustness of this assumption, I then performed sensitivity analysis, whereby the treatment duration was set to 7 days. And this didn't change much, really, the strength of the magnitude of the observed associations. And finally, I examined duplicated and overlapping prescriptions in order to define continuous treatment episodes.
Fantastic. So on to your results. Can you talk us through your key findings from this study?
Yeah, so we found a non-fatal overdose event rate of 15 out of 100 person years of follow-up. And there is an elevated non-fatal overdose risk for patients prescribed opioid agonists concurrently with either benzodiazepines, gabapentinoids, Z-drugs, antipsychotics.
So most of the time, this kind of co-medication increased the risk of overdose?
Yes, that was observed.
I thought it was really interesting that there was one of the exceptions to that was antidepressants, and they seemed to reduce the level of risk. Can you talk us through perhaps why that was?
Unfortunately, I cannot be certain why this happened. It's just speculations. I would suggest that it might have to do with adherence in the medication, possibly, because we don't have adherence data. We just have prescriptions, and we don't know if the patient actually received the medication. But nevertheless, it's a really interesting finding that needs further investigation.
Also within that, we've spoken about buprenorphine and long-acting buprenorphine to other authors before. There's often a kind of an assumption that buprenorphine as a medication is kind of safer than methadone. And your findings cast a bit of doubt on that. Can you tell us what you found between those two substances?
To be honest, the results, when I compared methadone and buprenorphine, the results overlapping with each other. So I would be very careful making interpretations for this finding. And this is potentially for other opioids rather than methadone and buprenorphine. Which it's clear that for methadone, there is a higher risk, while buprenorphine may act protectively. However, the rest of the findings are overlapping, so I wouldn't dare to make any conclusions from that.
Yeah, you also mentioned in your discussion that the lower overdose risk attributed to buprenorphine could not be treated as a causal association. Was that something particular to the data that you were using and the methods that you're not able to kind of pick out causal associations here?
To examine causal association, we need to adjust the regression models for all the potential confounders. And I have to recognize that, I have to acknowledge that there were missing data in important variables, such as the severity of the substance misuse, drugs that are often may be used on top of opioid agonists. As I said before, medication adherence data are not present. Overdoses that were not recorded in HES but occurred, and the patient recovered without being admitted to the hospital. All these are important potential confounders that we need to consider if we need to explain this relationship as a causal relationship. And also we would probably need to randomize if we want to check different groups and to further control for selection bias, check the model assumptions and the temporality of events. So we need to make sure that the overdose happened after the exposure.
It's one of those things with these enormous kind of real life data sets, isn't it? It's you get an amazing kind of amazingly well powered study, but you don't get to design the questions that are asked. It's kind of there's that balance, isn't there?
Always limitations in every study.
Of course. What would be the implications from your findings for people working in the field, people perhaps prescribing?
Yeah, I would like to emphasize that this study is not a criticism to GPs, but the complex health needs of patients with opioid use disorder may require joint working with GPs and mental health professionals or other healthcare professionals. I would emphasize that patients need education, so they need to understand that combining different drugs may have unpredictable results. And I would make a suggestion for policymakers that we need a non-fatal overdose definition, so that there would be a consistency across the definition, and this would make systematic reviews and meta-analysis more easy across countries.
Yeah, that's really interesting about the definition. You used was it ICD, the ICD-10 definition?
Yes, I used the ICD-10 codes that as they are recorded in the hospital episode statistics.
How does that definition differ from other definitions that you could have used?
You mean other definitions for non-fatal overdoses?
Yeah.
Other studies use the only T codes that refer to opioids, poisoning by opioids,
Okay.
and they classify their outcome as non-fatal opioid overdose. In my study, it's a bit more broad.
Thinking of the next steps, what research needs to happen in order to build on your findings?
Given the appropriate statistical power, I would further examine certain medication classes and different prescription doses, and also stratified the analysis according to gender, age, and comorbidities to examine if there were any patterns that would emphasize the need for more personalized model of care for those patients.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time, Eleni. That's been absolutely fascinating. Some really important research there. Good luck for the future, and thank you so much for your time today.
I thank you for the invitation.